Good morning, my brothers and sisters, my friends online. How are you doing today? This is a crucial time we're living in, and I know that Jesus has a message for us today, and I'm glad to be in your midst, and I believe that angels of God are around us, and the Holy Spirit is here with us to bless us. We have a message that is, to me, important, very important. And the title is A No Probationary Time Requested. What is the title of our message? A No Probationary Time Requested. All right? So before we talk a little bit about it, let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've been with every one of us the whole week to the point that we can come in your presence to adore, worship you. We thank you that you love us of an everlasting love. And we thank you that you have a message for us, a timely message. Please bless the messenger, bless the message, bless those children that you have with us in this church and online to hear your voice. Forgive our sins. Bestow upon us your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. So the title of our message is A No Probationary Time Requested. It was Friday, November 2020, when I just slept about an hour and a half and lost my sleep. I then decided not to waste time on the bed and decided to go look for a message for the message of today. I did not know what it would be about. I made a silent prayer that the Lord would grant me a sermon, that I opened the Bible and started reading Luke chapter 13. As I came across this parable, I remembered what many of my brothers and sisters in the faith were and still are asking God to do for them, or for the church, as they feel that this time is no joke. The second coming of Jesus is very nigh. Apparently, all these fellows want him to come, but they need a little more time. On every occasion, I resisted the idea to ask God to slow down, to give us a little more time. And this for whatever reason. Some would say that I am selfish, but that's not true. The reasons for me to refuse to ask God a little more time will be revealed in this message. The pen of inspiration says, Christ, in his teaching, linked with the warning of judgment the invitation of mercy. The Son of Man is not come, he said, to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Am I correct? That's from Luke chapter 9, verse 56. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3, verse 17. His mission of mercy in its relation to God's justice and judgment is illustrated in the parable of the barren fig tree. I find that in Christ Object Lessons, page 212, paragraph 1. I just read that Christ linked with the warning of judgment the invitation of mercy. This is the methodology of Jesus. He warns of the impending judgment, but tells you what you ought to do to avoid it. This is grace, mercy, long-suffering. He does not just tell you what will happen to you, like Jonah did to the great city of Nineveh. He gives you warnings and a time of grace to repent. But if the time of grace or of probation is spent without changing the course of your life, if it is expired, you may not have it again. If you have things that must be fixed in your life and decide you have enough time before you, therefore you conclude you can do it after. If you spend time in the things of the world without consideration of the shortness of the period of grace, and that changes in life take time to become effective, you may be in a critical spiritual dilemma. Apostle Paul advises in Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 13 to 19. He said, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light." All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And you know what? One of the reasons people do not like spirit of prophecy, because spirit of prophecy denounces their sin. That's one of the reasons also that people do not like the Bible, because wherever you go in the Bible, your sins will be revealed. Pen of inspiration and the Bible are the light, and we should also be the light, that wherever we go, people would not like us because of our way to live. And Paul continues to say, "Wherefore," he saith, "awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Sleep and death." Some church members are sleeping. Some of them are dead. But both need to be awakened. They need to be up. "And Christ shall give them light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Redeeming the time. Can you repeat after me, please? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Can you say that? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Can you repeat that, please? Okay, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. "Wherefore be ye not unwise." If the days are evil, what you should be doing? You should not be a foolish person, but a wise one. Why? Because the days are evil. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, when is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody of your heart to the Lord. In your heart to the Lord. That means because we are living evil days, we are truly living the evil days, we should be singing but hymns from our book, from this hymnal, or other hymnals. But even in this hymnal, we have some songs that should not be there. I'm telling you. But we should be singing hymns according to the Bible, according to Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It is no time to be singing worldly music. No time for that. I will come back to this very important text. Jesus offered a parable to the Jews that none of them could misunderstand, given they were all familiar with the imagery he used to teach lesson, to teach them a lesson. In Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9, that my brother read for us, we will see the link between the judgment and the time of probation. In the parable, the proprietor of the tree has given it enough time to produce fruit, but it would not. Then he decided to cut it down. The dresser intercedes, asking the master to let it alone for another period. If it does not produce, then cut it down. The total amount of time given was 3 + 1 = 4 years. We will see it. Now, let us read from verse 6 to verse 9, Luke chapter 13. If you have your Bible with you, please open them up. What do we see? Chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Probably at that time it was the time to produce. You have a garden or a crop that whenever you need anything to eat, you go there to get it. If you cannot get it, there is a problem. Verse 7. But let me recall you, he did not find any fruit in the tree. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years. How many years? Nobody answers. How many years? 3 years. Thank you. I come seeking fruit of this fig tree. He's been coming every year to get fruit from the fig tree for 3 years. I come seeking fruit of this tree and find none. It was not just 1 year. It was not just 2 years. It was 3 years. None. Cut it down. What was the solution proposed by the master of the vineyard? To cut the tree down. That means to eliminate the tree. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. That means how many years? 4 years. A first 3 years and another year. Why? That means four. Till I shall dig about it and dug it. And if it bear fruit, well. Well means you know what you have to do. If there is no fruit in it after 4 years, after this probationary 1 year time that you give him, well, you know what you ought to do. Then after that, thou shalt cut it down. There is a time of separation, of sifting. This is actually a time of separation, of sifting or shifting or shaking. A time to take in utero or useless members out. In utero or useless members out. They occupy the land for nothing. They produce nothing. They are unproductive. They must be eliminated. But notice who commands the elimination of the tree and who eliminates them or the tree or the members of the church doing nothing. The one asking to eliminate the tree is the proprietor, the master, which is God, the Father. The one that eliminates the tree is Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God. Let me ask you a question. Was it fair for the dresser to ask the master a chance or a probationary time for the tree? Was it fair? I believe so. It was fair. After all, when you plant a fruit tree, you want it to produce, given it enough time to do so as you also are taking good care of it. But if after all you have, after all you have done, it occupies the land for nothing, better taking it down and burn it. In this parable, the master of the tree is God the Father, as I told you earlier, and the dresser is Jesus. And the tree is the Israelite people. How long have these people occupied this land needlessly? Well, more than 1,000 years. When Jesus came, it was time for them to produce fruit. He came just for that. The 70 prophetic weeks of probation given to the Jews were almost over. The death of the Son of Man was a signal of its near end, which was taking place at the death of the first martyr after the Savior, Stephen. Jesus has done every unimaginable thing to save the nation. But they would not. Finally, you know the story. In 70 AD, meaning after Christ, the retribution fell upon them in the destruction of Jerusalem. The tree was finally cut down. From the baptism of Jesus to his death, the nation had 3.5 years to know the will of God and to repent. They would not. From his death to the death of Stephen, there was a second 3.5 years, 3.5 year period to repent, but they would not. They killed Jesus, they will kill Stephen. A total of 7 years symbolizing perfection, were given them. For a nation, 7 years seem nothing. Compare a nation to an individual. If God has given 7 years to a nation, how much less will he give to one person? God may not give them that many years for repentance. That is why we do not play with time. It is not a given. It should not be taken for granted. We cannot control the time. That is why we need to be wise when we utilize it, or with its utilization. But notice some very important thing. The master and the dresser did not want to uproot the tree. There's a big difference between cutting down a tree and uprooting the tree. A tree. If it were uprooted, there would be no spiritual offspring coming from it, which was Israel. The Israel of God is not a physical one, having a particular culture, occupying a specific territory, or speaking a different language. The Israel of God is spiritual, speaking all the tongues in existence, living across the globe, having all cultural background, displaying all skin colors. If the physical Israel were uprooted, it would mean that no spiritual Israel would exist now. For salvation comes from the Jews, said Jesus in his conversation with the Samaritan woman by the well. Sister White explains that Christ's hearers could not misunderstand the application of his word. David had sung of Israel as the vine brought out of Egypt. Isaiah had written, "The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant." Isaiah 5, verse 7. The generation to whom the Savior had come were represented by the fig tree in the Lord's vineyard, within the circle of his special care and blessing. Christ's Object Lessons, page 214, paragraph 2. Now, let me read in the same chapter just a little bit for you. God, in his Son, had been seeking fruit and had found none. Israel was a cumberer of the ground. A cumberer means Israel occupied the land for nothing. They would not preach the gospel. They would not produce any kind of fruit. That's why Jesus came down. If it remained fruitless, I mean, its very existence was a curse. For it failed the place in the vineyard that a fruitful tree might fail. It robbed the world of the blessings that God designed to give. The Israelites, the Hebrews, had misrepresented God among the nations. They were not merely useless, but a decided hindrance. To a great degree, their religion was misleading and wrought ruin instead of salvation. In the parable of the dresser of the vineyard does not question the sentence that the tree, if it remained fruitless, should be cut down. But he knows and shares the owner's interest in that barren tree. Nothing could give him greater joy than to see its growth and fruitlessness. Fruitfulness, not fruitlessness. Fruitfulness. He responds to the desire of the owner, saying, let it alone this time, this year alone also, till I shall dig about it and dug it. And if it bear fruit, well. The gardener does not refuse to minister to so unpromising a plant. He stands ready to give it still greater care. He will make its surroundings most favorable and will lavish upon it every attention. The owner and the dresser of the vineyard are one in their interest in the fig tree. So the father and the son were one in their love for his chosen people. Christ was saying to his hearers that increased opportunities would be given them. Every means that the love of God could devise would be put in operation, that they might become trees of righteousness, bringing forth fruit for the blessing of the world. They occupied the land for nothing. They would not produce any fruit. The master wants to cut them down. The dresser asks a probationary time. They had it. Did they use it wisely? What happened next? Jesus did not in the parable tell the result of the gardener's work. At that time, his story was cut short. Its conclusion rested with the generation that heard his word. To them, the solemn warning was given. If not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Upon them, it depended whether the irrevocable words should be spoken. The day of wrath was near. In the calamities that had already befallen Israel, the owner of the vineyard was mercifully forewarning them of the destruction of the unfruitful tree. Transposing the story onto our account today, our time, I truly believe that God had and still blessing us above measure, taking care of his people by placing the spirit of prophecy in our midst for a little more time. Even 170 years since 1844, God does not stop blessing his people. 176 years. In 1888, according to pen of inspiration, God decided to send his son back to take his children to himself. 1888. Jesus got to come because God has decided so. And Jesus pleaded, "No, not now, Papa. Give them some more time." You remember that? I believe everybody knows it. 1888. Give them some more time. I have children that are not ready yet. 1888. In 1888, according to pen of inspiration, let me repeat, God decided to send his son back to the earth to take his children to himself. I feel like we do not really understand how long divinity has been waiting to unite with his children, like a good father waiting to unite to his prodigal child. Many think that God is not suffering with our absence from him. He has more desire to come than we do. The delay of his coming cannot be attributed to a lack of love for us, but should be to our lack of love for him. However, when the time of mercy has been spent, he will come and none can slow it down, none can stop it. From 1888 to this day, it has been 132 years since Jesus interceded that he would not come before his people be ready. 132. 132 years since 1888, Jesus got to come. Now, I truly believe he cannot wait anymore. He will come no matter what. It's over. After the revocation of the matrimonial contract between God and the Hebrews, he chose to himself one that would honor him and do his commandments throughout the Christian era, from Jesus to the end of time. From the first church, Ephesus, all the way to Laodicea, Christ has a church that does what the Jews refuse to do. The last church is our Seventh-day Adventist. How do I know? Well, there are several characteristics. If you take a look at the Jews, you will notice that they were the depositary of the Ten Commandments, of the law of God. The last time I checked, the only church advocating the perennity of or the perpetuity of the law of God is us Seventh-day Adventists. There's none like us on earth preaching the Ten Commandments. I mean, the ten original commandments of God. Second, God has given to his people prophets to guide them whenever the people was backsliding and leaving their way. Among them were Samuel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and many others. We too have our last day prophet that none can safely gainsay or even deny, Ellen G. White. The faith of Jesus is crucial for spiritual people to repent, to represent God here on earth. Without faith, none will be able to please God. The life and peregrination of the Hebrews in the wilderness for 40 years and the crossing of the Red Sea and the Jordan River were acts of faith from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and on and on. Let's go with me, please, to Matthew chapter 22. Verses 37 to 46. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 46. All right. Are you there? What does it say? But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. Verse 39, and they caught him, cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. Talking about whom? Talking about whom? This text is talking about Jesus being killed by whom? By the people he came to save from sin. Then Jesus said, when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? That's the question of Jesus to the Jews, Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, the people gathered around Jesus Christ. And Jesus asked that question to the leaders, said, when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? What has been their answer? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen. which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. That was the answer of the Jews themselves, saying that the master would take the vineyard away from them and giving it away to other husbandmen to take care of the vineyard and to produce fruit. But Jesus was talking to them and about them and what God would do to them. But they were wise enough to understand that Jesus was talking about them. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. Many people still today believe that the Israelites are the people of God. They're not. The evangelicals are talking about that all the time. The Israelites are no longer children of God, the people of God. We are Seventh-day Adventists, the last church. Laodicean people. But we're not better than they are. But we still preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruit thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to what? Powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parable, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Now, if God were to give another time of probation, what would many do with it? They would use it as did the Jews. They would still occupy the land needlessly. They would not use that time to better their relationship with God and their neighbors. They would use it to plan long-term projects, and the day would take them unawares. A simple illustration, some people say, if I lived closer to my work, I would not be late at work. I would not be late there. Well, they have decided to move closer. Guess what? They go late to work even more often. And even later than before. Why? They believe now living closer than before, therefore they can relax longer. Same thing for some who believe they would get to school earlier if they had picked some classes later in the day. Well, it turns out they were lying to themselves. They spent more time on the bed or in the shower. Consequently, they arrive later than before to school. Men will always find an excuse for not doing things right on time, but always they will find out that they were wrong. Did God give us another chance to better our relationship with him in order to be saved? Of course, yes. Did he do that for the church? Sure he did. When? Since 1888. Did he do the same thing for the Jews? Of course, yes. When? The 70 prophetical weeks of Daniel chapter 9 verse 24, which says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. God has given them 490 years to repent. 490 years to repent. They would not. They would not. Do we need more as Seventh-day Adventists? Do we need more time? Do we? Do we need more time because we see coronavirus decimating a lot of places across the world to prepare for the second coming of Christ? Do we need more time? I know you need more time. In your heart, you will say it. Probably we will have none. Look at the signs to see if God will do that. It is time now to redeem the time. Redeeming the time. For the days are evil. Redeem the time, not prolong the time. The verse says, redeeming the time, not prolonging the time. Do we need more time? Our prayer should be to ask God to help us gain victory over every besetment, every sin, pride, selfishness. He will do that if we ask Him with all our heart. Otherwise, we will pray for nothing. God gave the antediluvians 120 years to repent. 120 years have been given to the antediluvian to repent. They would not. This is human nature. Did they need more time? Would they repent? I do not think so. What do we need this delay for? To build, buy, marry, travel, to get a degree, to have children, or to preach the gospel? Don't worry about the gospel. We spent the whole time fighting each other over the women ordination. We spent the whole time hiding the truth to the people of God, not preaching the present truth, leaving it into the head of a few laypersons. And if it were not because of those laypersons, the message would not reach the world. We spent the whole time in ecumenism, in mingling with other fake Christian institutions. And now we are asking God for more time. More time for what? We spent time receiving foreign preachers in our church to preach to our young minds. We spent time with the follies of the world. We spent time in teaching all kind of foolishness to our children. And we are asking God more time. More time for what? Are we kidding? Do we need this time for ourselves or for the church to finish her work? Don't worry. The mission will be fulfilled after the outpouring of the latter rain on the true church. Then a strong army, courageous army, faithful army, children, young, adult, and even some of the elderly will go across the globe to deliver the last message of warning to a perishing world, and then thousands upon thousands will join us to prepare for the second coming of Christ. Do not get me wrong. Some have a legitimate reason to ask God for a little more time. They may have a true desire to be saved. But what will other people do with the time that you have requested from God? Is it to serve the Lord and to preach the gospel? I will tell them what? Do not worry. Have faith and the Lord will make a way. But there are many who want more time. These would always need a little more time. Give me some time today. You have it. And the day passes. Please, can you give me more time? Yeah, the day passes. Can you give me more time? Some people will always need more time. Let me show you something. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verses 20, 21. Revelation chapter 2, verses 20, 21. This is a well-known text in the Bible. What does it say? Do you have it? Okay, let me read for you. It says, 2021, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Are you following? I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servant to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. 21. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. If we are serious with ourselves, we would repent today. Not wait until tomorrow. We never know. God may never give another time. Do not play with time. Do not play with time. Now we have much more time than the antediluvian. They had 120 years. We have 132 years plus 12. More than they had. Moreover, we have a little left over. The fight between Republicans and Democrats for the White House is another little time giving us to repent. The fight between Democrats and Republicans is a little more time given us by God to repent. Repent. That's the message. No more probationary time, probably. What are we looking for? Brothers and sisters, I cannot wait to see Jesus. I have been suffering my whole life. I need to live forever with my Creator. God, my Savior, my Father, my big brother, my best friend. What about you, my brothers and sisters? Brothers and sisters, it is time to go home. Don't you think? Don't you think, brothers and sisters? It is time to go home. It is no time to ask a little more time. It is time to go home. I need to go home. It is time to go home. Let us pack. Let us pack our suitcases. Let us fix things that need to be fixed in our character now, before too late. May God bless his people for the terrible time that is right at the door, the very trying time that pain cannot describe. If someone wants more time, I'm sorry, you may not have it. If someone wants to repent now, stand up. Let us pray together. a special prayer. If someone wants to repent, stand up, please. We will pray together so that God, you don't want to stand up because you see somebody standing up or stand up. Don't do that. You don't want to repent, you say, you say on the bench. Sit down. But if you truly want to repent, because you never know, there may be no more time, no more little time, no more probationary time, except that one. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, will you give us a little more time? Do we need a little more time? What will it be used for? What we need is repentance and redeem the time because the days are evil. Your children, I included, standing before you, head down, we ask you to forgive us for everything that we have done against you, and to give us repentance. To not rely on time because we cannot control it. Forgive us, O Lord. Forgive our trespassing. Forgive our sins. Forgive our iniquities. Forgive our besetment, our pride, selfishness, every single thing, wrinkle or spot in our lives, we need them to be completely eradicated. We know that Sunday law is the last test that you will give to your church. And when we get to that point, no sin should be in our lives. And Sunday law is right around the corner. Bless your church, O Lord. Save your church, particularly here in Elmira. And those who follow online, who will follow online, save us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.